All right, so I have the recording started. Let me preface this before you start. For those of you who are currently watching the recording, this is officially the start of the fourth class session for speech. And tonight is also the night when we do the scripture reading presentation. So most of you, based on what it's looking right now, most of you will be delivering that reading in one of the two options that are listed for student attending asynchronously. Tonight, we only have one student who will be reading live for us. That's Anthony Brewer. Anthony, do you know what the passage is you're going to be reading?
Yeah, well, I've got... My Bible's the wrong translation that I wanted, so I'm using it from my YouVersion, my phone. I'm doing the ESV.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10.
Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, okay.
And can y'all hear me pretty good?
Yes, I can hear you very well, and that's great, great. Okay. The volume is great.
Okay, just let me know when y'all are ready. And
that is the ESV version, you said?
Yes, sir. ESV.
Okay. All right. So Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 from the ESV version. All right.
Okay. Here we go. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Very good. Good job.
Excellent.
Very well done. And I like the pace, the rate at which you read.
Okay.
Because that is one of the problems with many people. When they read, they tend to read too fast. And maintaining a good pace, a good rate throughout, keeping track of the punctuations when you slow down in terms of taking a pause, a brief pause for a comma, and then longer pause for a period. You know, those things are very critical to help the reading flow and make it really clear that people understand and then they can follow through. So very well done. Good pace, good rhythm, good job.
Can I ask you, is it going too slow? You want to just have a balance, because if I'm going too slow, it kind of sounds awkward because I already have to in here project my voice. So having a balanced kind of speed flow is what probably is going to work best.
Yeah, and I think when I said having a good rate, we talk about rhythm, which will be kind of look at a little bit tonight when we talk about speech delivery. Rhythm, your pauses, the way you group words together, you know, that form your sentences, your phrases, you could speed up in one sentence and then slow down in the next, depending on how you want that to be expressed. You
know? Okay.
So there are times within that same passage, there was one part where, depending on the idea that you're expressing in the passage, you may read it a little faster. And then when you want to emphasize things, emphasize a statement, emphasize a word, then you slow down. Because when you slow down, that helps with the emphasis that you want to put on that particular word, on that particular part of the passage. So
that makes sense. Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah, and one other thing when it comes to reading is, if you're reading the passage and you have two sentences left to finish, the last sentence, you may want to be slower than when you first started, than the rate that you first started, because that indicates that you're finishing off.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right, since we don't have anyone else reading, we're going to go ahead and start our class. So let me go ahead and go to the class site and the first at this moment so that we can look for what's coming up. Next week is the week where we actually have our informative speech delivery. And again, students who attend live will deliver their speeches live. And those who watch the recording would follow the options for asynchronous attendance, which is listed on the class site. So let me go to that site very quickly. So the topic and working outline for that speech was supposed to be submitted by the end of last week, of this week basically, which is supposed to be today or yesterday. If you submitted any work, I have not gotten a chance to look through that to see who has submitted that working outline. That would be the first thing that I would be going to look at to see whoever submitted a working outline. I'll go and give you some feedback. If it looks good, the topic, your thesis statement and specific purpose are worded well, and you at least shown that you have some of the major points that you're going to be developing into a formal outline later on. They seem to support your thesis as we've talked about. Then I'll give you some feedback. If they, whether they need improvement or if they're good, you are on a good path to proceed for your formal outline. I'll tell you that as well. So I will try to do this as quickly as I can. Quickly for me these days is a little crazy, but I will, because I know I'm running behind on some of the gradings, by the way, and I could use a few more hours in the day if God will allow that, but yeah, unfortunately that's not going to happen, so I'm going to have to do whatever I need to do to get some of those grading, the grading done, and also look over your working outline and give you some feedback as quickly so you can get your formal outline completed. So here is what's coming up. At the end of week four, you should have, in the after class for week four, yes, you have to submit your final formal outline for the informative speech, and then also do the session four essays and reflection on that for the after class at the end of this week. Those of you who attend live will deliver your speech live. And in week five, for those of you who will not be delivering your speech live, you can find the options for asynchronous attendance right here. It says, and I hope some of you may have already seen this information. A student who can't present their informative speech live in this class session do not have to record or submit anything to the informative speech forum below. This is the preferred option for as many students as are able to participate in this way. And let me say something about this. And I know some of you may have legitimate reasons why you cannot attend live to speak to a live audience. But I also understand that some of you may fear the live audience option and decide that, a recording may be easier. If that's the case, I would ask you to reconsider this, because the whole purpose of this is for you to learn how to handle, a live audience. Obviously, those of you who are online, it's not going to feel as the same as if you were in the classroom with actual bodies in the classroom looking at you. It's going to feel different. And if you're doing a recording without anyone, any live audience in front of you, this is not the same as giving a speech with live audience. So you have not really experienced what we are trying to achieve in terms of deal with anxiety because you have live audience listening to your speech. So you would be doing yourself a disservice if you decide that doing a recording is the easy way out from having to stand in front of a live audience, because that's not going to help you really accomplish the objectives that we really wanted to accomplish. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you decide to do a recording for this speech and the persuasive speech, I would want you to try as hard as you can to have some people that are on the video that are live in the room with you that you're presenting, just like they are your audience, so that you can have some people, live people in there, whether they're family members or friends, whatever you want to find for that, that would be really helpful to you, okay? So keep that in mind. I would really see you try to find some, even if it's three or four people you can find, at least be there when you record your speech and before you upload it. So follow the instructions for submitting your speech where it says informative speech presentation for asynchronous students. This is the link that you'll click on and to get the instructions on what you will need and how you would need to do that. By the way, it does say that your speech will be due by 4 o'clock on the night that is due. You don't have the whole after week 5 to do this. It's not like it's an after class type of thing. You still due on the day that this speech is scheduled to be due. So it's not going to give you extra time like the after class assignments if you were thinking about that. Okay, so all the speeches are still due on that same day, whether you present it live or you record it, they are due on the same day. Okay, so keep that in mind for those of you watching the recording. And on also week 5, you will be submitting topics for the persuasive speech. And unfortunately, we don't get to talk about those things like persuasive speech. We will be talking about persuasive speech on week 5, which is a little bit before you are required to submit topics for that. Because of the way the class is structured, we are really trying to cram a lot of information, a lot of things within this time. And that's why you cannot afford to fall too far behind with submitting your assignments and stay on top of it. Because it's going to go even faster once we reach week 5. So keep that in mind. You don't really have a lot of time. So, all right. If you have questions about the asynchronous delivery, make sure to let me know what your questions are. So we can address them, because my life is not getting any easier. It's going to be getting more complicated. So I may not have a lot of time to look at things too far in advance. So if something is needed immediate assistance, just email me and I'll do my best to get back to you.
I have a question.
Sure.
May I do my scripture reading after break?
You wanted to do that?
Yes.
That may be fine, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so let's go ahead and get out of this. And tonight, we are supposed to be talking, you are supposed to have read 3 chapters for tonight. One is chapter 10, the other one it's chapter 12, and then chapter 13. Now, chapter 10 is about visual aid or presentation aid. I am going to say very little about this because I wanted to focus primarily on chapter 12 for the most part, and then a little bit on chapter 13, since chapter 13 deals with informative presentations and chapter 12 is about presenting your speech in terms of what are the delivery methods and the physical aspect of the delivery that we need to be aware of. So I will spend some time on those two chapters tonight, but let me say very quickly, in regard to the visual or presentation aid, because I don't know who will be in the classroom, I don't know how many people will decide to attend live online, I don't know how many people will decide to do the recording, to record their speeches. All depending on the format that you choose to deliver your speech, that will determine what type of visual aid would be most appropriate or applicable. PowerPoint is fine even if you presenting live online via the web conference. We can give you access to for you to share your screen so that other audience members who are either online or in the classroom are able to see your PowerPoint or your visual. Now, PowerPoint is not the only visual. You can use, if you read chapter 10, you saw a variety of different types of aid that you can use based on your topic and what's available to you. Since I haven't seen the topics yet, I don't know, I can't tell you what type of visual would be most appropriate, but there are so many different type of visual that you can use without necessarily having to use a PowerPoint or Prezi, which are electronic visual aids. So if you decide that your speech would benefit more from using a model, for example, a model of an object that you can show to the camera and you can show in the classroom. What we mean by model is basically a replica of a real object. You know, if I am trying to instruct my audience about how airplane works or the history of airplanes and so forth, and I want to have a model airplane with me, then that is considered visual. Because you can show that visual aid. You can show that to the audience and they can look at it. In fact, in a live audience type of situation, you could pass that model around so people can look at it and see it. That's visual. You could use a real object if it is small enough to get into your room. You probably couldn't use a real car, for example, or something that is big, but you could use a model or a real object of something that is small enough to be in the place where you're presenting. So there are so many different ways to use visual for this speech, but you do need to have some type of visual for your speech, even though it's not necessarily going to be PowerPoint. If you decide to do PowerPoint, that's fine, but it doesn't have to be. You just need to be creative and find something that you can use as a visual presentation aid that will help support or making your point for your speech. If your topic is about how to bake something, obviously it might be hard for us to, unless you really create a video where you tape yourself doing this, it may be hard for you to do that in a live type of presentation like this because of the way your camera on your computer is set, if you're going to attend live and so forth online. So if you will figure out what the best presentation aid would work best for you. Make sure to read some of the examples given in chapter 10 for that. So I'm not going to really go through all how to put the PowerPoint presentation together or anything like that. But I assume most of you do know how to do that. And if you decide to use that model, that method or that type of presentation aid, you will be able to do it if you decide to do that. Okay, so let's move on and talk first about informative speech. One of the experience that I've had with students when it comes to informative speeches, sometimes they don't feel like they can just give information without having to persuade someone. So that would defeat the idea of informative speeches, because an informative speech supposed to be to give information in a balanced way, okay? Supposed to present information in a balanced way without influencing listeners to adopt a particular position. All right. Now, let me make this clear though. Can someone be persuaded from an informative speech? Of course they can. But your goal, your specific purpose, the way you stated it on your paper, wasn't to persuade this audience. That's not what you set out to do. You set out to provide information so that they make their own decision. If the information is presented well enough that they feel, oh, I didn't know about this, I'm aware of this now, I think I need to do something different, great. But that's not, you didn't ask them to do that, okay? All you are doing, you did research, you're presenting information to them based on your topic, and you leave it at that. You're not asking them to adopt one position. You're not supporting a specific position. You are presenting information in a balanced way, okay? I want to make sure that everyone understand that so that you don't have two persuasive speeches instead of an informative speech and then the persuasive speech, because we will be talking about some of the principles to look at when it comes to persuasive speeches later on, okay? So what are the different types of informative speeches? Your textbook identified three types of informative speeches. And if you look in chapter 13, you would see that there are also specific designs that are suggested for the different types of speeches that you may be presenting, different type of informative speeches you may be presenting. So the first type that you read about from chapter 13 is speeches of demonstration, okay? Every time you give a speech demonstrating how something is done, you are giving an informative speech, okay? And I am sure for those of you who currently are working, you may have been giving many informative speeches already. Okay, so demonstrate how something is done. You hear the term demonstrative cooking. You know, when you watch a cooking show on TV, and the person is actually showing you how to bake a pie, then that's demonstration. So they use a lot of visual for that, because I mean, you can see them doing the things they are talking about. They're showing you the recipes that you need. They're showing you all the ingredients that you need. And then they're showing you how to, step by step, how to do this. So most speeches of demonstration usually will start with the word how-tos, okay? How to repair your car, how to fix a house, how to, you know, whatever the topic is, it usually would have that how-to part in it to help you determine that this is a speech of demonstration. So let's look at, Yeah, I thought there was an example of that in your text that I was going to point you to. But so do you get the point in terms of speeches of demonstrations? A second type that is listed in your text is speeches of description, when you describe an event, describe events or place, a person, if you describe an object, those are examples of speeches of description, which is different from speeches of demonstration. Okay, a speech of description, usually you would have to be very, you'd have to create an image in the audience's mind about the place that you're describing. Let's say last time I taught this class, a student gave a speech on giving information about Disney World, and that's basically, she did a great job describing the shows, the different rides they have there, and so forth. So that's what we mean by you describing. So when you are giving a speech of description, you really have to create that vivid image in the audience mind so that they can actually see themselves at that event, see themselves looking at that object that you're describing, see themselves at that place that you are describing. They can almost visualize the person that you're describing if you decide to do a speech of description, talking about a person that you describe the person's life, work, experience, and so forth. So speeches of description, speeches of demonstration, and also I will be showing you a chart in just a second that kind of incorporate those types of speeches with the type of designs that are more appropriate based on the type of speech that you decide to give. The third one is speeches of explanation that is described in your text. And for speeches of explanation, basically it explains how something works, okay? The explanation in your text is an informative speech that offers information about abstract and complex subject, okay? So you're explaining things. All right, so let's say every time you give a speech on a topic that you are not demonstrating how something works in that speech, or you're not describing something in that topic, then you are explaining things. Okay. If you're giving a speech on the work of a certain ministry that you currently are a part of, you will be explaining how that ministry works. You will be explaining what people do in that ministry. Now, can you combine explanation and description? Of course you can. Because you could have two type of speeches combined depending on how you want to present this information and the effect you want the presentation to have. So you could have a combined two types of speech that are combined together, where explanation is, especially explanation and description, they can be combined together. And then finally, the other type of speech that was not mentioned in your text is the speeches of definition, okay? Some of you currently may be in a Bible class or in introduction to biblical research, where you had to do a word study, okay, as one of your assignments. Okay. And when you do a word study, all you do is really look up that word in the concordance, and you look at all the ways that word was used in the past and what its current understanding for our days, and how people have used the word, in what context. So you're really looking at that word in all, I mean, as a whole, okay? So first you have to define it, okay? So this would be a type of speech that we would call a definitional speech, because you have a term defining it. All your speech will be about that term, okay? Let's say I wanted to give a speech on the meaning of existentialism. Okay, that is a philosophical term that has a whole lot of history about it, that you could find all kinds of information about that particular term and give a speech on that. That would be definitional. Is you are really defining that term, what it means, who are the pioneers of people who first came up, philosophers who first came up with that term, how they've used it, what books are written about it, and so forth. So this would be a type of speech of definition. Okay, so four types of speeches: definition, demonstration, description, explanation, and a fourth one that I wanted you to be aware of is definitional. Now let's take a look at how those speeches could be designed. On the class site, there is a link that gives you some sample design for those specific type of speeches that we just looked at. Okay, I do want you to, if you get a chance, to at least look at some of those sample design. Okay, so, and I'll tell you also on what page you would find some of those design. Okay, speech design starts on page 299, but I also include a handout on the class side for you that kind of take all of those and put them together in one place for you. So you could see examples of outlines for the specific designs that are listed. So speeches of description that we just looked at can follow this type of design, can follow sequential or chronological design. They can follow spatial design. Okay, for sequential chronological, I hope this is not too small, because I know it's a lot of information in one place, and I just wanted to have you a quick snapshot of how, you know, all those correlate together. So the speech of description, you know, when you describe an event as it occurs in time by focusing on its major phases, then you would be using sequential or chronological. That's basically what that means. So speeches of description can follow any of those designs, okay? If, for example, you decide to do a speech of description by following a compare and contrast type of design, basically you would be describing what something is by what it is like or what it is not. Okay, so you would compare those things within that design. And look at the sample, the elements that you would need to look at when, if you decided to use any particular design for any type of the speeches. Speeches of demonstrations usually can follow a sequential or chronological design or a compare and contrast type of design. Okay, in a demonstrative, you will teach a pattern of behaviors that produces some product or result, which means, for example, when you watch, if you, some of you may have been able to create a YouTube video teaching someone how to do something, okay? That would be a type of speech demonstration, and most likely it will be sequential. That means you will follow step by step, okay? If I'm showing you how to repair your washing machine, then I would have to show you step by step what to do, the first step to do to open whatever you need to open, of how to get this part in, how to take this part out first, and then reverse the steps to see how you put it back in, okay? So all the YouTube videos that you've watched to save money by fixing your own things at home, those are sequential design because they follow step by step how to do things, okay? Teaching you a pattern of how to do certain, perform certain tasks. And speeches of explanation can follow the same thing, categorical or topical, cause and effect, and comparison and contrast as well, okay? Again, the cause and effect, it accounts for some subject, but what caused it or traces its possible effect. Basically, if I am, we will be watching a simple speech on the cause and the effect of homelessness in just a second, okay? So that speaker would be looking at what causes homelessness and how is the, what effect that has on people who are homeless, you know? So that would be an example of cause and effect type of speeches design, okay? Does that make sense for those of you who are watching?
Yes.
Okay, good. So what do we need to know when it comes to giving speeches of information? Obviously, people make decisions based on information you present. So that is why I'm asking you to do research so that the information you present is valid, okay? It is accurate. I just gave an example of watching a YouTube video to fix your washing machine or to fix your car, whatever it may be. Now, if you were to follow the steps and instead of fixing your washing machine or your car, you blow it up, then that would be bad. That would be really bad because the information is not accurate. It doesn't really teach you how to do things the right way, okay? So this is really critical. It's really important that the information you're presenting to help people understand certain things, to help people become more informed about things, that it is based on accurate information and you can back it up based on your research. This goes back to the idea, don't just go online and finding a source and then without investigating that source to know how accurate this information is and just use it in your speech. You have to make sure any source that you use, you can back it up. I mean, you respect the information, you trust it, and it's accurate. It's your informative speech needs to be clear because you're going to be presenting information to people. And there are very basic principles that you need to follow to be effective at giving that information. People tend to neglect or not want to listen to things that they find not meaningful to them. So in choosing your topics, you will need to keep that in mind. You already know who your audience is, okay? Those are classmates, college classmates. So don't choose a topic that would be more applicable to a group of third graders. Okay, so you have to keep that in mind. The information you're presenting, the topic you choose, is it meaningful to the audience that you are presenting to? Because after all, the speech is not for you, it's for your audience. If whatever you present does not, I mean, they don't see the value in it, then it will be hard for them to really take it seriously. Okay. And find a way that they can remember this information. Put it as simpler as you can in the process that they can follow and understand. So whatever design that you use, whichever method that you use to convey this information, it will be, you have to think about your audience and what would be the best way to get that information across to them, okay? Any questions before we watch our sample speech?
No.
Okay. Let me ask, have you guys already identified the topic and did the working outline?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, definitely I'll try to take a look at those and give you some feedback as soon as I can. All right, so let's go ahead and go to this slide, which I want you to watch this video, this sample speech. It's about, I already told you what the topic was. And I want you to look for those things. Based on what we just discussed, would you say the speech is description, demonstration, or explanation, or a combination of more than one type? Was the speech well structured, which means were you able to identify a clear introduction, the person preview the speech in the introduction, has a clear thesis statement in the introduction in terms of what the speech was going to be about. Did the speaker really go through the points in an organized fashion where you could see where all the main points were? Okay, that's what we mean by well-structured. And was there a clear conclusion that you felt the speech was coming to a close as you listened to the conclusion? I need you to see and to look for whether the speaker used information in a balanced way, or did you feel the speech was kind of crossing over to persuasive instead of just being informative, because those can be very slight. You could start being informative, and then by the end, just one sentence you make, you say basically changes the audience's mind. Okay, well, I thought you were just giving us information. Now you're asking us to do this. Make sure you pay attention to those things in your own speeches. And also, I want you to at least try to observe those things and this one as we move along. So here we go.
I can't hear the speech.
Yeah, I can't hear it either. Did you share screen with computer sound?
Okay, let me see here.
They're everywhere. They're on the street, at the bus stop, even the corner of Circle K. And being 3.5 million of them, it's no surprise. You've guessed it. I'm talking about our homeless. We all have had our opinions and heard statements regarding the homeless, be it keep walking, avoid eye contact, or my personal favorite, ignore them, and they'll all go the way. But the truth of the matter is, this problem isn't going away. Homelessness is a major problem in the United States, but the skewed view of the public regarding the causes and the effects has led to dehumanization and, unfortunately, an overlooked need. Today, I would like to enlighten you on the causes and the effects of homelessness, which I have attributed nothing to the solution. According to the National Coalition for the Homeless, poverty is the leading cause of homelessness. But poverty is multifaceted, and the first of which is work-related. Either be due to downsizing or inadequate work ethics, losing a job at the wrong time can have a domino effect on one's social class. Take, for instance, Guy Trevor, a former interior designer prior to the foreclosure crisis. He says, "I see myself as a casualty of a perfect storm. The people sleeping at the parking lot are very friendly. They're just like me. They come from normal, everyday homes. I don't think a lot of people in this country don't realize that they, too, are a couple paychecks away from destitution." But believe it or not, he's absolutely right. According to a recent survey done by CareerBuilder.com, 4 in 10 workers say they often or always live paycheck to paycheck. Healthcare is also another contributing cause of poverty in the United States. According to the National Coalition for the Homeless, for families and individuals struggling to pay the rent, a serious illness or disability can start a downward spiral into homelessness. And considering that 1/3 of every person living in poverty has no health insurance whatsoever, one bad break or one illness can send an entire family down the road to homelessness. Personal problems is the second major contributing cause of homelessness in the United States, first of which being domestic violence. According to the National Coalition for the Homeless, nationally, approximately half of all women and children experiencing homelessness are fleeing domestic violence. And considering the extent of abuse, the choice is trivial. Mental illness and addiction are also contributing causes of homelessness in the United States, but not surprisingly, not to the extent that most of us realize. According to the U.S. Conference of Mayors, only 16% of the single adult homeless population suffers from some form of mental illness. And according to the National Coalition for the Homeless, the increase in homelessness over the past 2 decades cannot be explained by addiction alone, which leads me to the sad effects of homelessness. Mark Hewitt, director of Love and Care Ministries, says, "I think a lot of people think homeless people are nothing. They're feeble. They're not all there. I think people take that opportunity to take what they have or beat him." And he's absolutely right. Oftentimes we find ourselves frowning upon the homeless, ignoring the homeless, and believing the worst, thinking they're trying to free ride their way through life rather than getting a job like the rest of us. But sometimes that's not the case, which leads to dehumanization. 4 years ago, Nathan Moore was a typical 15-year-old boy who liked typical 15-year-old things like playing video games, watching movies, hanging out with friends. So some of his friends decided to play a game, or what they considered a game, of taunting a 49-year-old homeless man, Rex Baum. It started innocently enough, or as innocently as this can get, with yelling and screaming, but eventually escalated to hitting and punching, and then throwing anything and everything that he saw in sight, from sticks, rocks, to bricks, even the homeless man's barbecue grill. One of the boys picked up the baseball bat that the homeless man had at the side of his camp for his own protection and began pounding him with it. Upon finding him unresponsive to their abuse, one of the boys took their own fecal matter and smeared it across his face before cutting him simply to see if he was alive. And he wasn't. And upon finding this, the boys left the homeless man there with his face wedged in his own barbecue grill and a plastic tarp over his body, hoping that the animals would eat him before heading off to grab a bite to eat at McDonald's. Believe it or not, these stories of abuse are not far and few. According to the National Coalition for the Homeless, the number of attacks on the homeless has been at the highest level in almost a decade. There was reported 122 attacks and 20 murders in 2006. And as the years continue, so has the number of attacks on the homeless. As we've seen, the causes of homelessness are typically due to unexpected and unpreventable circumstances. And the majority of people experiencing homelessness today are everyday folks such as ourselves who fell into one of these situations. It is also clear that these actions of abuse are unacceptable. but actions derive from attitude, and currently our attitude stinks. We give abuse rather than compassion, beatings rather than sympathy, and avoiding eye contact rather than addressing an issue with more vigorous action. It is clear that change must start within ourselves, but the real question is, are we willing to change?
Are you there?
Hi.
Okay, it looks like I've lost my video for some reason.
Okay,
there we go. All right. Okay, so let me put this back so we can recall what the questions were, the things we're going to be looking for. Who wants to start?
Well, as far as the speech goes, we're talking about the different types that there are. His is really, well, I'd rather just talk about his delivery first.
Okay. Well, let's first identify the types, and then we can talk about delivery.
Well, he was really doing a lot of explaining.
Okay.
Giving instructions as well. Not so much demonstration and how to do something or something like that. But also though, he had some characterized in there because he's describing a type of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's characterized them, these homeless people, which use some of that too. So I think that a lot of that is mainly what his speech was kind of fitting under that category.
So you would say it's a combination of description and explanation?
Mainly, yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Also characterized too, because he's characterizing people.
Okay. Yeah, describe people as speeches of description. Describe a place or an event or an object or whatever you want. But would you say it was more explanation than description?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk. You said you wanted to talk a little bit about his delivery. That wasn't one of the things on there, but yes, let's go ahead and talk about that, Anthony.
Okay.
What did you wanted to note about his delivery?
Well, first off, he seemed, he was very fast in his speech.
Right, good observation, that's correct.
So that leads you to choppy speech, which is really gives you this impression that he's a little agitated or frustrated, or he's not relaxed.
Okay.
So that was, and then there's some things like he repeated himself and he fumbled some of his words because he was going so fast.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he leaves you with this question. So he's trying to leave.
Okay. Don't go there yet, because that's a different question.
Okay.
Yeah. So the delivery you thought could have been polished much more.
Yeah, I think he rushed through it.
Okay.
And maybe because he was nervous and new at it and just wanted to get it over with.
Okay.
I did pick up a few things. Like one example, he was said, a 15-year-old boy did 15-year-old things. Well, that didn't make sense. I think he should have said, did things that 15-year-old boys do. It made it sound like the things were 15, I don't know.
Okay. So,
that were eight.
I see what you're saying. Okay. I think part of his reason for rushing, this is a competitive type of event that he was being a part of. In fact, if you read the notes on the video, he was in a second place in that competition. So, and in those things, you are timed, and he probably had more information than the time that was allowed.
So, which, but the allotted time didn't do him too good a justice.
Exactly. So, which is what we need to be paying attention to in your speeches as well, because you only have minimum 6 minutes, maximum 8 minutes for your speeches. So if you don't narrow your topic enough and you have way too much information than you can present in this amount of time, then you probably, two things will happen. Either you're going to be rushing through it very fast so that you can be done within the time limit, or you would be going way over time and lose some points. At the end of the class, I hope I do have some time to show you the course, the evaluation form that I'll be using to grade your speeches so that you know what are the different elements and criteria that I'll be looking for. So if you have not, I'm sure some of you may have already looked at it, but I'll make sure to show it at the end. All right, so structure. Was this, did you feel the speech was well structured?
I think you did pretty good. As far as his visual goes, it was okay.
Okay.
He had words plastered on the back that were kind of scattered. I get that design, but I don't know. The visuals were so-so for me.
Okay. So this is, you would not use that format for.
I probably would have used more, like the photos.
Okay.
I would have definitely added more photos because you can collect a lot of photos on homeless people. I mean, you could have put up a family, a single woman or a single man or a younger person versus a senior citizen, maybe a veteran.
Okay. Okay.
Just to describe the variety of people who can be homeless.
All right. Now, the last two questions, but overall, the structure, you could identify the introduction, you could see the key points he was developing, and you could see his conclusion. There was no doubt about those parts.
That's right.
Is that correct?
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Making sure. All right, the last two bullet points kind of go together. The first one says that the speaker used information in a balanced way. And the second one says, was the speech only informative or did you feel that it crossed over to persuasive? So you could probably answer both of those together. So what do you feel?
I believe it was balanced, and I believe it started out informative and cross over to persuasive a little bit. Persuasive part being what we can do to help combat homelessness by the way we treat people and just not ignoring them. So I think a little bit of that.
Okay. Was there anything at the end? Any specific statement at the end that really called your attention to a little bit of crossing over? Anything like that?
It was just minimal, really.
Okay.
Just about how we can be a better person to help. But
right.
I think you could have been more persuasive by offering information on what organizations that help homeless where you can volunteer to help with it. So
okay. I think now, okay, then do you feel the speech was informative or crossed over to persuasive? Because I know we kind of dance around it, but the real question, because how do you feel, Anthony, was this an informative speech based on what it was presented?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I think that the only thing that may be really dancing around persuasive is the question that he leaves us with to try
okay.
But other than that, he's really disseminating a lot of information, giving examples, using visual aids, statistics. It's very much informing. So.
Okay. Very good. All right. So I think this, any other questions? I think this is a good spot for a 15-minute break. When we come back, well, let me just not left ask if there was no question and then go right into what I was going to say. So let me ask you, are there any questions before we take our foil break?
No.
No, I'm just going to have my scripture ready.
Okay, you'll have your scripture ready, and you'll read that before we move on to chapter 13, chapter 12, talking about delivery methods and physical aspect of delivery. Okay. Because I do want to ask to watch a video as well, talking about the importance of our nonverbal. So let's go ahead and take 15 minutes break. It's seven. I'm showing it's almost 8 o'clock, 7:59 to be exact. So let's go ahead and come back by 8:15, and we'll take it from there, and hopefully we'll get everything done.
Okay.
All right. See you in 15.
All right.